Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center. We got a great show for you today. The question is, since I can't change my spouse, that's what everybody says, right? You can't change him, can't change her, you can't change him. What am I to do now? If you can't change him, what do you do? If you've been paying attention at all when it comes to relationships, you've heard everybody and their dog tell you on a radio show or TV or interviews, you can't change them, you can't change your spouse, you can only change yourself, you can't change them. So what do you need to do? You can get angry, that's always an option, right? Throw a hissy fit. You can nag. You can leave. Some people just say enough and they're gone. Some people just try to, ignore whatever it is that bugs them or try to manipulate. My guess is there's some healthier things we can do. And so since intentional living is about setting goals and repeating actions until they become habits and doing the next right thing that honors Christ, I'd ask the question, since you can't change your husband, you can't change your wife, what do you do? Give me a call. I'd love to hear it. 888-888-1717. Janine says she prays for her husband and keeps her mouth shut. Sheila says, I realize I can't change him and I love him for who he is. James says, I've decided to become intentional. Betsy on Facebook says, I started praying for my husband and made a decision with God's help to stop nagging at every little thing that he did that made me unhappy. I learned to pick my battles and learned how to approach them with love and respect, not anger nor nagging. And Ashley just throws up her hand and says, I do this. Any extra advice? Help me. And what do you do? What do you do? You can't change him. Can't change her. What is our responsibility? How do we get intentional? 888-888-1717.
Dr. Randy, my name is Tammy. The reason I'm calling in this morning is I just listened to your show and about the lady who had been married for 2 years and that and trying to change her husband. Well, I've been married 24 years this year, and for years I've tried to change my husband and it does not work. I've tried to make him into a spiritual leader, but you can't change your husband. You have to change yourself and pray for your husband and pray for yourself and pray for your relationship. And it's taken me 22 years to learn that lesson. You need to pray for your husband, not try to change him. And nagging definitely does not work. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll echo that one. Nagging doesn't work. I think our society is against us when it comes to trying to make a marriage work. You turn on, TV or you see the movies or whatever, and a lot of things that are very idealistic and not reality, certainly not biblical, not designed to reinforce a biblical standard for relationships and what God intends. So I think there's a great deal of confusion. And then, of course, the culture that we live in today doesn't support the values, most of the values that we have as Christians in our marriages and families today. And so we don't have that support structure, so it makes it even more difficult. And so when things aren't as you'd like them to be, and you look at your spouse, you don't like what he or she is doing or how they behave or what have you, and you don't have a support structure sometimes to know how to respond to that. So today we just want to give you some things that'll help you very intentionally. Nothing today that's over the top profound. We're just sharing things with you that are truths in terms of what, as Christians, how we're to respond when we have challenges and we know we can't change another person. So let's go. Let's get at it. Marcia's in Kansas today with a question. Hi there, Marcia.
Hello.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, my question is, what if your husband says he doesn't need to change? We haven't been married very long, and at the beginning, I had some jealousy issues because he has a female that to this day he still calls her his best friend. And, like I said, I was jealous, and now I've kind of just let that go and try not to ask him questions about her, you know, like when they work out together and, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And
now, how long you been married?
5 years.
And you knew about this friendship before you got married?
Yes. And in fact, you know, like when we went through our minister before we got married, you know, we went through our sessions and, you know, it was mentioned to him that he should, you know, probably not work that closely with a female, you know, the opposite sex. And he said, yeah, you know, I know I need to, you know, quit. But then in the last couple of years, he's, you know, said, well, she was my friend before you, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and you're just going to need to accept that. And,
well, Marcia,
you know, there's nothing there.
Yeah, Marcia, listen, we have a whole thing on our website. What do we call that, Steve? Is it 10 reasons? No, the opposite sex friendships? We're going to find out how to find it, and then we'll get those to you. We'll tell you how to get to those. Because this is a big deal. I write about it in my book, Starved for Affection. I've talked about it on the air. People have told me that I'm out of touch with reality. But I think whenever you have the closeness of opposite sex friendships that cross over some of these borders, it creates a problem. And it creates a problem for you. There may be nothing there, maybe totally innocent. There may be nothing that's, quote, inappropriate with that relationship. But whenever we don't keep our marriage as the primary focus and making sure that our spouse, that we're taking care of their needs and providing the kind of security and encouragement that they need, it creates a problem. He pays for it and you pay for it. You both pay for it. And so today when you talk about not change, you can't change him. You can't change him. The key for you, Marcia, is just be very clear with your husband how you feel, that it bothers you, that you're troubled, the fact that he's not respecting your wishes in this regard, and he is paying for it. I mean, he pays for it because of you being upset. Unfortunately, the two of you are not on the same page with this, but we don't play games. I don't think getting angry, I don't think nagging, I don't think leaving, I don't think manipulating or throwing a hissy fit is the answer, but I do think when going to your spouse and saying, honey, I need to tell you exactly why this is a problem to me. And if you love me, you got to understand this is a problem to me. I'm not indicting you that you've done anything wrong, but I want you to know why this is a problem to me. And if you love me, I think it's important for you to understand why this is an issue. Love is truly a demonstrated behavior. It's not just a feeling. I love someone, I will behave in different ways to show them that I love them. You can't change him. I mean, that's the question today. So what do? I think you love him back. You pray for him. You have clear standards and boundaries that we need to maintain. It's one of those dangerous areas in relationship. Really is dangerous. Let me continue on here. Let me go to Betsy's in New Mexico. Betsy, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your question today?
Okay, well, I've been dating my boyfriend for 10 months. He's Christian. He knows the word. He recites quite a bit of it to me when we're not seeing each other. But when we visit together and we're in the same spot or visiting together, all of a sudden that goes out the window and he starts telling me that I need to change. And I'm like, wow, what do I do now?
Well, I will tell you this, Betsy. The best predictor of future behavior in life is past behavior, and if you get married, it's not going to change.
Well, we both have come from twice divorced. I've got 4 children from my 2 past divorces, and he's got 2 children from one of his divorces that he was in. He's telling me that I need to let go of my friends and let go of my mother and my children. And I tell my
Betsy,
you know, how does a mother do that?
Betsy.
Yes.
2 divorces, each of you. He's quoting scripture to you, telling you you need to change. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I pray a lot. I cry a lot. I feel like I'm in limbo.
And you're scheduled to get married, or are you just dating?
We're just dating.
Uh-huh.
He lives in Colorado, and I live in New Mexico. We travel to see each other twice a month.
Well, Betsy, Go ahead.
When we're on the phone, you know, he's the greatest guy, speaks the word and everything, but the minute we see each other, all of a sudden I'm the target.
Well, Betsy,
I need a change. And wow, what do I need to do?
Well, you got women all over America yelling at their radios what to do. Run! See, the best predictor of future behavior, this is a truth, is always the past behavior. And things don't tend to get better after we get married. Whatever is there tends to just continue or deteriorate. Usually the very best we look is on the day we get married. Then who we are really starts to come out. So let me be practical with you, Betsy. You can't change him. And you say you love him and he says he loves you. But the two of you have got to do some work before you get into marriage. Two failed marriages here. Got all sorts of relational and biblical issues you got to deal with to understand. I would get with a counselor, your pastor, pastor's wife, a Christian counselor, and lay this out and do your homework, really pray and work it through with someone to help you think this through very clearly. But if you take nothing else from my call today, remember, the best predictor of future behavior is current and past behavior. And we can hope and wish and even pray, but that doesn't mean the future is going to change because other people also have their own input on that future, okay? So for the two of you, counseling would be a great thing to do.
Hi, I've been married 38 years, and for 20 years of my marriage, my husband and I were on separate pages as far as our relationship with God. He really was not a believer, and I prayed every day that he would become a believer. After 20 years, we had a really rough time. We did separate for a year, and during that time, God worked in him and changed his heart. We got back together after a year, and he has been in Christ. We read Bible every morning. We pray together, and I thank God. It took 20 years, but God changed him. I know my prayers, God was listening, but God is the one who changed him. And now it is a great marriage, and I thank God for it, and we're good Christian lives right now. And I thank you for your program. I think it does a lot of good, and tell people that never lose hope, that God does listen, and in his time, he will change their heart.
That's good. Thank you. I just want to say one word before the next call here. Betsy, following up with Betsy, that her boyfriend is saying that you need to change. Now, when someone says to you, you need to change, I know the first reaction we have is to put up a wall, right? Anytime you say you anything, the wall goes up. Now, if we can get mature enough to say, tell me what I need to change so I can understand, what is it about me that maybe I can learn? That's different than just nitpicking, flaw-picking on another person. But in a loving relationship, there are times to be able to talk about things that need to change in a relationship. That's appropriate. That's okay. That's healthy. We should never close the door on growth. But overt criticism, yes, that has to be, that door needs to be closed. All right. Melanie is in Texas with a comment today. Melanie, go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Andy.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that about 15 or 20 years ago, my husband and I started having some major problems, and we were trying to change each other big time. And I, one day he came home and he looked at me and he said, "I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce." And that was like, I mean, I went into like major anger and just started breaking everything in the house. And wow. I mean, I was throwing things at him. I was mad. And then I went in that night and I laid down and I was looking over at my shelf and there was a book I had bought about 5 years prior called Your Husband, Your Friend. And I thought to myself, at that time, I thought, why am I reading this? I don't need this. But God knew I needed it. He knew I was going to need it. And so as I started reading, I started realizing how much I had taken control over my husband and how every control thing that I did just tore him down and took away who he was as a man and as a person. And basically, he was to the point that he just didn't even feel like he even needed to exist because he was worth nothing. And I started making changes and started trying to work toward that, you know, making him feel better about himself and building him up and trying to build back up the man I had basically torn down. And it took a while. It took about 3 months before he finally said, okay, maybe she's serious. And then he started making changes. And as we made those changes together, me concentrating on me and him concentrating on him, our life came back together.
Wow.
And we've now been married 33 years.
Good for you. What a story.
I mean, it, you know, we have our ups and downs, and I still get into my control issues at times. But, you know, one of the things that book taught me is that we all open a love account for each other when we meet each other, even friends. But as a husband and wife, we can either make lots of deposits into that love account, or we can make a lot of withdrawals.
That's right.
And if you make too many withdrawals, sooner or later, that account gets closed.
Mm.
So my husband and I just started looking at each other, and he would say, did I just make a withdrawal? And I go, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a point where, Melanie, using that analogy, that you do enough withdrawals, you overspend that account, there is a point where there's bankruptcy, and bankruptcy is a painful, painful thing. The good news is you can come back from it. And you did. Bankrupt, but you came back. And I think what Paul says is a great reminder, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The way you think then impacts the way you behave, and the way you behave impacts the way you feel. And as you said, your husband came around as you came around. We do impact each other. Melanie, thanks for your call.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. If you're asking the question, if there's one thing I could change about my wife or husband, have you considered prayer? Ask God what He wants you to do and have a bunch of people around the world praying for you as well. Join our prayer community today at theintentionallife.com/prayer. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
My husband won't go to church with me. Should I go anyway? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. And my answer is pretty clear, yes, but. But don't go to church with an attitude about your husband. I'd encourage you to love your husband before you go and love him after you get home and pray for him while you're there. Don't preach to him or prod or come home with all the good news of the service that he missed. Frankly, that may likely push him away. And whatever you do, don't make it a competitive experience for your husband. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in his life. It's not your job. You're not the Holy Spirit. Pray for him. Encourage him. Enjoy your church and your fellowship. And whatever you do, be there for your husband and love him intentionally. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
All right, welcome back to Intentional Living here. As the time's passing, Pam's on the line, wants to join us from Michigan, responding to my first caller, Betsy. Pam, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Randy. I listened to Betsy explain her situation dating for 10 months, and when she said that she just didn't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
I answered right out loud to the radio, for an answer for her is run, puppy, run.
Why'd you say that?
That's the advice that I wish I would have gotten when I got married the second time. I was married for 15 years and went through a divorce that was very, very difficult. And I never thought I would be in that position.
Well, what were you telling yourself at the time, Pam? What were you telling yourself when others were telling you run?
No, I didn't have anybody telling me run.
Oh.
You know.
Why? Just didn't have people that could see the dynamics, or everybody was just happy for you?
Well, when I went through the first divorce, I had a lot of losses and disappointments that then I could go into a whole story, but basically kind of lost my support system.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I was dating the second guy, he was part of a little church in a nearby town, and his family, very involved, and of course they all, you know, just accepted me, wrapped their arms around me. And so
that felt good too, didn't it?
For happiness to come. And he had told me that I was exactly what he was looking for, a Christian woman to help him grow in the Lord. So it was like he was inviting change.
Yeah.
But
of course, that puts you in a role then to say it's your responsibility to help me grow, as opposed to stepping in and being in a position where he's in growth and leadership and so on. Did you get counseling together?
Well, we met with his pastor, and his pastor said, well, you're having trouble with staying apart, so let's set a date for the wedding.
So in other words...
And I was like, but I'm supposed to start nursing clinicals, and I just kind of felt like I got railroaded. He was an older pastor, and the answer was just get married. And I'll tell you, you don't get married on a Saturday and start clinicals on Monday. That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Pam, let me just add, for people listening, when we say things like stop, get counseling, run, back off, it's not because we're not pro-relationship that honors Christ. We are pro-relationship that honors Christ, so much so that we're willing to say there are times, like you hear Pam saying, you just got to stop, back off, get counseling, take your time, don't rush. What I've learned over the years, when things don't make sense, they don't make sense. When things don't feel right, usually something's wrong. When someone you love is giving you a perspective which is different than your own, stop and listen. You can't change another person, but boy, you can change yourself, and I think that's the ultimate message today.
Hi, I'm Melinda. I just wanted to pass something on. I'm 80 years old. When I was 42, we had 6 children, and my husband did not want to be married anymore, and we got a divorce, and we were in the process of divorcing, and I was up here in Minnesota at a conference on the Holy Spirit, and I talked to Dr. Erwin Prang that was there, and he said, you know, whatever happens, remember that God is much more interested in your walk with Him, Himself, God, and your husband's walk with Him, Himself, God, than He is even in your marriage. And it really ministered to me, and it's so true. I've grown deeper and deeper all the time with the Lord, and God has always been enough. He's always provided, and I just praise God for that, and I wanted to pass that on. Thank you for your program.
Well, thank you, Melinda. It's that's a gentle but truly biblical reminder that God is more interested in developing our own character and our relationship with Him. And yet I know many of you listening today, the pain is still very real as we've been talking about marriage and wanting our spouse to change and not knowing what to do next and talking about the importance of having boundaries at times and holding our spouse accountable. But at the same time, whenever we have an expectation that's not met, we know the scripture tells us that that can make the heart grow sick. And so today, I hope you're finding some encouragement and a reminder that God's intentional love is with you. And of course, our prayer for each of you that are struggling in your marriage would see that life is short and to continue day after day after day and not be willing to step out and say, hey, we want something better for our marriage. We want something better in our relationship. And getting the kind of help that's available, frankly, is kind of a waste of time. And it's really stupid, frankly, to be honest with you. It's just, I see people who make these kinds of decisions to continue to just choose to be miserable in the relationship instead of doing that next right one thing that'll honor Christ. And that's our prayer for you today. Number three, how do we experience hope? Number three, 1 Corinthians 15:19. And if our hope is in Christ, it says, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be pitied more than anyone in the world. And I thought as I read that, I was thinking, what does that mean? What it means is that if our hope is only until we die, that's to be pitied. And we live in a world that tries to find hope until they died, because there were people in this time as there are today that feel that when we die, the body and everything vanishes, it disappears, right? And we know that our hope is in Christ will occur on that day when we leave this scene and we're in His presence.
That's a truth, and that's an excerpt from the teaching this month as I look at the top 10 from Scripture on how to experience hope. It's a two-part series this month and next month as we focus on this truth that not only is God's hope limitless, but unless we choose or make a decision to experience it, it can elude us, and that's not our desire for you. And so our focus this month on the teaching for our intentional living community is to truly experience God's intentional love and His hope and care for you. All right, today we've been talking about marriage, and sometimes changes are not occurring the way we'd like to see them occur. And I want you to know that our ministry continues to pray for and minister to people here and around the world. As we see marriages strengthened, we see people coming to Christ and lives being radically changed. And I want you to know, right now, here in this first month of our new fiscal year, for those of you who are joining us in monthly support, we're sending Henry Blackaby's Experience God book, plus our teaching from Intentional Living. Just go to theintentionallife.com and come and join us. Speaking of joining us, tomorrow Dr. David Hawkins joins me, and we talk about honoring thy parents. Is that difficult for you? We're going to give you some intentional hope and help. See you then.